Have you ever wondered why some women seem to hit an invisible barrier in their careers despite their undeniable talent and work ethic? Sally Helgeson and Marshall Goldsmith's groundbreaking book, How Women Rise, tackles this perplexing phenomenon head-on. Since its release in 2018, this book has become required reading in leadership development programs at companies like Intel, Best Buy, and Morgan Lewis. Oprah Winfrey named it one of her must-read leadership books, and it has been translated into 14 languages. What makes this collaboration so powerful is the unique perspective each author brings. Helgeson's 3 decades of research on women's leadership patterns, combined with Goldsmith's extensive experience coaching Fortune 500 executives. Together, they've created a work that doesn't just identify problems, but offers practical solutions for women seeking to break through career plateaus. The journey to the top looks remarkably different for women than for men. While men typically struggle with behaviors like aggression, arrogance, or self-centeredness, women often battle reluctance to claim achievements, perfectionism, and over-apologizing. These differences emerge from both socialization and workplace experiences that diverge dramatically between genders, starting as early as school years and continuing throughout professional careers. Consider the common phenomenon of speaking while female. When a woman makes a point in a meeting that goes unacknowledged, only to have a man make the identical point moments later and receive enthusiastic recognition. This experience, often called heap-heating, occurs in boardrooms, academic settings, and team meetings across industries. After experiencing this repeatedly, women face a difficult choice: claim credit and risk appearing petty, or remain silent and feel disrespected. Such experiences accumulate over time, shaping behaviors that can ultimately limit advancement and create self-doubt that affects future participation. Women also tend to internalize feedback differently than men, taking criticism more personally and allowing it to impact their confidence more deeply. Studies show women are more likely to receive personality-based feedback in performance reviews, with terms like abrasive or aggressive appearing significantly more often in women's evaluations compared to men's. This creates a double bind, where women must navigate between being seen as too passive or too aggressive, with a much narrower band of acceptable behavior than their male counterparts. The definition of success itself differs between women and traditional organizational expectations. Research shows women value quality of work-life integration, and meaningful contribution alongside salary and position, while men tend to prioritize high position, salary, and winning. Women are more likely to leave high-paying positions if quality of life is consistently low, considering them not worth it, and often approach success collaboratively rather than competitively. This manifests in women being more likely to volunteer for office housework, organizing events, taking notes, or mentoring junior colleagues, activities that benefit the organization but rarely factor into promotion decisions. This difference is psychologically healthy for women and beneficial for teams, as it often results in more inclusive and sustainable workplace practices. However, it can have a dark side when women underinvest in their own success while building up others. Women frequently hesitate to negotiate for raises or promotions, waiting to be recognized rather than actively pursuing advancement. The authors emphasize that while external barriers like old boys' networks and unconscious bias exist, changing your own behaviors is within your control and can significantly improve your chances of advancement. This includes learning to advocate for oneself, building strategic networks, and consciously deciding which traditional workplace norms to challenge and which to work within. Studies also show that women who successfully navigate these challenges often develop specific strategies. They build strong female support networks, find sponsors, not just mentors, and learn to reframe self-promotion as sharing valuable information rather than bragging. These strategies help counteract the psychological toll of constantly navigating gender-based workplace dynamics while advancing professionally. The most insidious career obstacles often come from within. Behaviors that once served women well, but eventually become limitations. These aren't character flaws, but simply habits that have outlived their usefulness, operating on autopilot when circumstances change. Many women develop these patterns early in their careers as survival mechanisms or responses to workplace dynamics, only to find them becoming barriers to advancement later. Ellen, a socially skilled software engineer, was stunned when her boss criticized her for not being better known in the organization despite her valuable work connecting people across departments. She had fallen victim to two common habits: reluctance to claim your achievements and expecting others to spontaneously notice and reward your contributions. Her practice of not wasting her boss's time by highlighting achievements had worked in a startup where everyone was in close proximity, but disadvantaged her in a large company where divisions compete for attention and visibility is crucial for advancement. This pattern is particularly common among technical professionals who believe their work should speak for itself. Similarly, Carrie, newly promoted to head a high-profile risk assessment unit, decided to spend her first 3 months becoming an expert on regulations before building relationships. This approach backfired as her isolation earned her a reputation for being inaccessible and aloof. Her nose-to-the-grindstone approach that won praise as an investment banker undermined her leadership position where relationships mattered more than expertise. The transition from individual contributor to leader often requires completely different skills and habits, yet many women cling to behaviors that previously garnered recognition. Miranda, a senior associate at a global law firm, volunteered for multiple committees despite her overwhelming schedule because she seemed like someone who would basically say yes. This people-pleasing habit, common among high-achieving women, led to burnout and prevented her from focusing on strategic work that would advance her career. Her inability to say no stemmed from early career lessons about being a team player, but now undermined her effectiveness and potential for partnership. Getting unstuck requires bringing these habitual behaviors into conscious awareness and trying new responses. Though this can feel awkward and vulnerable, it consistently works to release energy and confidence. Ellen overcame her reluctance by sending her boss weekly emails documenting her connecting activities. Despite feeling self-conscious, occasional positive feedback kept her motivated, and this simple practice of consciously changing her habitual behavior began shifting her circumstances. She also started speaking up in meetings about her team's accomplishments, framing them in terms of organizational impact rather than personal achievement. Other common self-limiting habits include perfectionism that slows decision-making, over-preparation that wastes time, and conflict avoidance that prevents necessary difficult conversations. Recognition of these patterns is the first step toward changing them. Success often requires deliberately practicing new behaviors that feel uncomfortable until they become natural, while accepting that temporary discomfort is part of growth. Women leaders consistently identify reluctance to claim achievements as a major barrier for rising female professionals. While women excel at delivering high-quality work, going the extra mile, being meticulous, meeting deadlines, and often exceeding expectations, they frequently struggle to bring attention to their successes. When asked why, many cite not wanting to behave like obnoxious blowhards or believing great work should speak for itself. This hesitation manifests in various ways, from deflecting praise in meetings to minimizing accomplishments in performance reviews. This either-or thinking creates a false dichotomy: either become insufferably self-promoting or remain invisible. This mindset often stems from referent group expectations, from other women, former bosses, family, or culture, that women should be modest and self-effacing. Research shows that women who do speak up about their achievements often face social penalties and are perceived as less likable, creating a double bind that reinforces this reluctance. Amy, executive director of a Pittsburgh Arts Foundation, learned this lesson after co-chairing a successful charity event with Mitch, who headed a large nonprofit. Following the event, both were interviewed by a reporter. Amy spent her interview praising Mitch and their team, deflecting questions about her leadership and emphasizing collective effort, while Mitch spoke solely about his own contributions, vision, and strategic decisions. The resulting article portrayed Mitch as the driving force behind the event's success, with Amy nowhere to be found. This experience taught her that modesty, while admirable, can inadvertently erase women's contributions from the narrative. Failing to claim credit becomes most costly when seeking advancement or new positions. Search firms confirm women often understate their qualifications with tentative language like, "I'm not sure if my qualifications are an exact match," or "I have experience in most areas you're looking for," while less qualified men boldly declare, "I have exactly the skills you are looking for," or "I'm confident I can excel in this role." Studies show women typically apply for positions only when they meet 100% of stated requirements, while men apply when meeting just 60%. This results in jobs going to less qualified but more confident candidates. Effective self-promotion isn't shameful. It's essential to reaching your potential and creating meaningful change. If you don't speak about your value, you signal you don't value your own work. Consider what motivates your desire to advance: helping clients, bringing emotional intelligence to leadership, preventing less qualified colleagues from getting positions, inspiring others, or creating more female representation at the top. These purpose-driven motivations can help overcome discomfort with self-promotion. Successful women leaders recommend reframing self-promotion as sharing valuable information that helps others make informed decisions about your capabilities and potential contributions. The key is finding an authentic voice that allows you to advocate for yourself while maintaining integrity. This might mean sharing credit while also clearly articulating your specific contributions, using data and metrics to support your achievements, or focusing on how your accomplishments benefit the organization and team rather than just yourself. Mastering every detail of your job is an excellent strategy for keeping your current position, but it can actually prevent you from advancing to higher levels. Many women assume expertise is the surest route to success, putting enormous effort into perfecting their work, while male colleagues focus on building relationships and visibility that lead to advancement. This expertise-focused approach often keeps women on a treadmill of constantly raising their own performance bar while missing opportunities to develop leadership skills. The top jobs require managing people with expertise rather than providing expertise yourself. Ashley, a 30-year-old leader who rose to head her company's business-to-business services group, credits her success to learning to let go of being an expert. When she joined her male-dominated company, she lacked confidence and focused on mastering every detail to prove her value. This approach backfired when her boss mentioned she was being considered for a promotion, but that he couldn't afford to lose her, effectively keeping her in place because of her expertise. A former boss advised her to think of every job as both a job and a bridge to what comes next, explaining that promotions rarely come from flawless performance, but from demonstrating readiness for bigger challenges. This insight prompted Ashley to actively pursue a larger role, telling her boss she would slit her wrists to get it, and following up with written talking points he could use to advocate for her. Ted Jenkins, Intel's fourth employee, identified four essential types of organizational power. The first is expertise, which, though valuable, can limit advancement when overemphasized. The second is connections, relationships built across the company, industry, and community that serve as currency for getting things done. The third is personal authority or charisma, the confidence you inspire in others through presence, distinctive thinking, and trustworthiness. The fourth is positional power, your formal role in the hierarchy. Organizations thrive when these four powers remain balanced. For women, learning to value connections and personal authority alongside expertise proves transformative. Power, defined simply as influence potential, becomes accessible when women recognize that expertise alone isn't enough to create meaningful impact. While women excel at building strong relationships, consistently ranking highest in motivating others, team building, and empathic listening, many struggle to leverage these connections for career advancement. The reluctance often stems from concerns about appearing manipulative, I don't want others to think I'm using them, or disliking political games. This creates a paradox. Despite relationship building being increasingly valued as a leadership skill, women often don't benefit professionally from this strength. Most successful careers depend not just on talent, but on mutual exchange of benefits, something men typically navigate more comfortably through win-win partnerships. Leverage differs fundamentally from relationship building in several ways. First, it's always reciprocal, based on mutual benefit and exchange. Second, it serves both tactical goals, specific requests, and strategic purposes, long-term advancement. Third, leverage is highly intentional, requiring different criteria than friendship formation, such as considering whether someone has useful connections or is positioned for future influence. Fourth, leverage brings distinctive rewards that are extrinsic and measurable rather than intrinsic and personal. Women often struggle with leverage because they value personal friendships with intrinsic rewards over cultivating strategic connections. This reveals two problems: assuming powerlessness, not seeing yourself as valuable to others, and falling into an either-or mindset, believing you're either purely altruistic or selfishly manipulative. The contradiction becomes clear when women who reject leverage for career advancement happily use the same tactics for causes they deem worthy, as with Amanda, who refused to help a sales colleague connect with her hospital contacts, but eagerly leveraged relationships for a domestic violence shelter. Women's preference for building strong personal relationships is a genuine strength that provides emotional fortitude and resilience. Rather than abandoning this gift, successful women integrate their relationship-building skills with more intentional networking. The key insight is that leverage creates mutual benefit. It's good for both parties. When you approach leverage with genuine investment in mutuality, you create value for others and yourself. Striving for perfection may have helped get you where you are, but becomes an obstacle at higher levels. Perfectionism creates stress, keeps you focused on details rather than big picture thinking, fosters negativity around inevitable mistakes, and sets unrealistic expectations. Women are especially vulnerable to this trap, often taking failures deeply to heart and stewing over mistakes instead of moving forward. Women's vulnerability to perfectionism stems from childhood gender expectations and workplace reinforcement. Girls are typically rewarded for obedience and excellence, while boys receive more latitude for rule-breaking and assertiveness. Schools penalize girls more harshly for acting out, conditioning them to seek approval through flawless performance. In organizations, men are rewarded for risk-taking, while women are rewarded for precision and correctness. This creates excessive fear of mistakes among women executives, compounded by the reality that their errors are often judged more harshly and may be seen as reflecting on all women. The burden is especially heavy for minority women who feel they carry the expectations of their entire community. Perfectionism carries significant professional costs. Those with excessively high standards for themselves typically impose the same on others, creating resentment among colleagues and direct reports. Vera, a brilliant executive at a global insurance company, was passed over for CEO despite her extraordinary achievements because her perfectionism made her over-controlling and judgmental. Her fear of failure led to micromanagement, stifled creativity, and risk aversion, ultimately disqualifying her from top leadership where big-picture thinking and calculated risk-taking are essential for organizational growth. Unlike harmful perfectionists, healthy perfectionists like Dana balance high standards with practicality. With 18 years on an executive committee, Dana maintains exacting standards but avoids controlling behaviors. She notices details but evaluates them in context, works hard yet knows when to let go, and maintains a sense of humor that helps her handle criticism. Her confidence allows her to excel at delegation and prioritization, two skills most perfectionists lack. Without these skills, perfectionists often take on excessive work, micromanage their teams, and fail to distinguish between minor issues and critical matters. Learning to delegate, prioritize, and take measured risks creates a less stressful environment and demonstrates readiness for advancement, but only if you can accept not being perfect. Women often diminish their presence physically and verbally in ways that undermine their authority and power. This habit of minimizing manifests in various forms that can significantly impact how women are perceived in professional settings. When women physically minimize themselves, drawing in limbs, hunching, or moving aside for others, they send submissive signals that undermine their authority. This physical shrinking communicates to both others and one's own brain a message of unworthiness. Like animals displaying submissive behaviors, these actions signal, "I pose no threat," and "I don't belong." Verbal minimizers like just, only, tiny, and disclaimers, "maybe this isn't important," similarly diminish impact. Research shows uncertainty in speech leads to being ignored, as powerful people interpret it as lack of commitment or preparation. Cultural expectations around female modesty create additional challenges. Aiko, a Japanese engineer, struggled with cultural teachings that women should be tentative, quiet, and deferential. Many cultures encourage women to be indirect or avoid direct eye contact with men, making it difficult to project confidence in professional settings. Women often use "we" instead of "I" when describing personal accomplishments, creating confusion about their specific contributions. While research shows women generally use "I" more than men in everyday conversation due to greater comfort with personal disclosure, in professional settings, they switch to "we" when discussing successes. This stems from the double bind, where assertive women face penalties, but non-assertive women are also viewed negatively. Minimizing behaviors signal uncertainty about one's right to occupy space. Others interpret this hesitancy as failure to fully engage. While many women seek advice about superficial aspects of leadership presence, clothing, handshakes, voice, true leadership presence comes from being fully present for tasks, conversations, moments, opportunities, and one's larger purpose. Today's technology-saturated environment makes being present difficult, especially for women juggling multiple responsibilities. Yet being present is crucial for connecting across cultures, developing empathy, and being perceived as credible. Research shows women receive equal attention when speaking if they're fully present. To free attention, women should push back against compulsive multitasking, which fragments attention and projects over-responsibility rather than importance. Making sustainable change requires focused, consistent effort over time. Rather than attempting wholesale transformation, identify one behavior, or even part of one behavior, and work on it until progress appears. Small changes repeated until habitual yield better long-term results than dramatic overhauls. Many of the 12 habits described earlier overlap or form clusters. For example, reluctance to claim achievements often pairs with expecting others to notice your contributions, both rooted in the fear of appearing too ambitious. Other common clusters include overvaluing expertise with putting job before career, both about keeping your head down, minimizing with too much, both reflecting reluctance to speak clearly and forcefully, and ruminating with letting your radar distract you. Noticing too much leads to overthinking. Having a clear purpose provides powerful motivation for changing self-limiting behaviors. Miranda's desire to become a great trial lawyer gave her incentive to address her boundary issues, while Vera, the perfectionist, struggled because perfection itself had become her goal rather than a means to an end. Articulating your purpose, whether specific, leading a global innovation team, or general, helping women recognize their strengths, provides a lens for determining which behaviors most undermine your goals. Changing habits alone is nearly impossible because humans have a built-in forgetter that defaults to autopilot behaviors in familiar situations. Enlisting colleagues, friends, bosses, or direct reports costs nothing and can be effective in disabling your forgetter and preventing rationalization of old behaviors. Research by Marshall and Howard Morgan found that the key difference between those who make lasting behavioral changes and those who don't is consistent follow-up with colleagues. This means keeping helpers informed about your progress, asking for their assessment of your improvement, and implementing their suggestions. To accelerate behavioral change, broadcast your commitment widely. people's perceptions change slowly. One instance of new behavior won't shift an established impression. Treat each day as an opportunity to reinforce your message, like a publicity campaign. While addressing limiting behaviors is important, it's equally vital to recognize that these behaviors are rooted in strengths that contributed to your current success. Each limiting habit is connected to a positive quality. Reluctance to claim achievements stems from genuine modesty. Overvaluing expertise comes from respecting skills and working hard. Perfectionism is rooted in not wanting to disappoint others. Minimizing reflects awareness of others' needs. And letting your radar distract you comes from empathy and intuition. These characteristics, diligence, conscientiousness, concern for others' feelings, are gifts you bring to the world that have contributed to your success. While examining how these strengths may sometimes undermine you, continue celebrating the talents and attitudes that brought you this far.